I think I'd yelled at someone else to get out of the space in front of me so I could run in.
I'm looking forward to the next challenge. Sometimes you forget to actually enjoy what's happening at the time.
He won't get sacked. That's absolutely not going to happen.
We can get him back in the team and that can help him work through some of the personal things that he's got going.
We copped a pasting towards the end of last year and we were in a really bad spot as a club.
I didn't expect anything less from him. I can't believe it took him 2 rounds to get suspended.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
And today we go inside the sanctum of the North Melbourne Football Club at 24 minutes to 8 on a Wednesday morning with one of their All-Australians at best of fairest as well, one of the keys to locking down the back half. Scott Thompson joins us on RSN 927. Good morning, Scotty.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Great to have you in, mate. Have you enjoyed this year so far? Because it was going to be a challenging year, so we thought, from outside after the departure of some of your real experienced players and Daniel Wells as well, one of the good players to the Magpies. It was going to be a real watch on North Melbourne this year. How enjoyable has it been to compete so well this year from your perspective?
Yeah, it's been a big a surprise, I guess. I always had some confidence in the younger guys, but it's been great. After we win, the boys are up and about.
Yeah.
Just the younger generation, and it makes me feel young still. And no, it's been really exciting, and they're a great bunch of blokes, and they're improving every week. And yeah, we haven't been out of a game, and we've lost some close ones, but we're in the hunt every game.
It's a good point. There is a great energy about North Melbourne when you play, and I'm not sure where that comes from, if it's something it's conscious and you try and manufacture out there, or it's just the way things evolve through the game. But I've seen you guys a few times live this year, and there is a great energy, and maybe that doesn't happen when there's such a stable lineup like you had for so many years with those experienced players sort of driving the leadership. Do you reckon that's been one of the dynamic changes for you guys this year?
Yeah, I guess being a younger team, they just bring that enthusiasm to the game. But I guess with a younger team, if you don't do the right thing, you don't play.
Yep.
And so everyone's doing the right thing. There's no, oh, I've played 200 games, I stay in the team if I don't do the right thing. So that's what I like about the club. And yeah, we're going all right. We still need to win a few more games and push for those finals. But yeah, it's really enthusiastic at the club.
I'm interested in, I don't want to spend too much time going back, but just in that time when you lost all the experience and a lot of guys that you'd played a lot of footy with, what was your break like first when you were sort of reflecting on what had happened and what was going to happen? How did you feel about the footy club and where you thought your footy would be heading?
Yeah, it was a big shock, obviously, to get that news that the big six were kind of moving on, and it took a while to set in, but once the club told us and the players told us, you know, you have your celebrations at the end of the year and you say your goodbyes, but you still catch up with them. And I guess, yeah, you're a bit nervous coming into that next season, losing your six most experienced guys, thinking what's going to happen here. But once pre-season started, you could see the confidence in the young guys and just trying to step up and trying to... there was so many spots up for grabs in that round one. It was really exciting.
So how did it change you as, not so much a footballer, because we know you as a really reliable defender and you've been doing it for a long time, but you as a person and you as a leader around the footy club? Because I would imagine you thought, well, I've got to step up here because there's not too many older guys and it's my time to lead without the others being around you.
Yeah, definitely. It was quite different. Yeah, second oldest at the club now, so it did... It did change your mindset a bit, and but the young guys, I'm the minority kind of. There's only a couple of young old guys there, and all are young. So it just changed so much around the change rooms. There's music always playing, and yeah, even if after a loss, like the next week, it used to be just everyone would have their head down, but everyone's up and about and trying to improve and get on with the next week.
Is there a different type of music playing now?
Oh, definitely. Yes. It's good, though. I still feel like I'm 21. So.
That's nice. You're getting with the young crowd. Talk to us about how you start a game, because across the season, you've only been down four times at quarter time, and they've only been by a small margin. So, you know, how do you approach that start? Because there's obviously something going right as you go into games.
Yeah, I'd probably say through Brad Scott and the coaches, they always put a really good game plan in, and we know pretty much what the other team's going to bring, and we set up for it. And I guess that's why, like, if we play our game the way they've told us, we normally get in front, and then sometimes puts the other team, the opposition, on the back foot, and they have to change their plans, and then they might come back at us. But yeah, I think the coaches have had it right this year, and we come out knowing what we're going to face.
And what's the approach? This year started probably not in the way you would have liked to, losing the first five games of the season. Last year, you won the first nine. Was it a real difference in the way, you know, the feeling around the club when that was happening?
It was. Winning the first nine games last year was a great feeling, and it was so exciting. But with the regenerated list, it was disappointing, but there's still a bit of excitement because we lost three of those games by under a goal. Yeah. So we knew we were on the right track. We just couldn't get that win.
So when that's happening, and you know you're doing all you can, but you're not getting the win, what's the role of the coach then to instill in terms of a message to you guys to keep on focused, to keep on track? Because when you're working so hard, you're not getting a result, you can flatten off pretty quickly.
Oh, definitely. And yeah, Brad's message was nearly the same for three games in a row because we dropped them by under a goal. We're doing a lot right, and not unlucky, but we're just doing a couple of things not right, and once we get them right, it'll be good. But Brad kind of summed it up nicely that one of those close games, you might get one of them every 50 games when you play, and we had three in a row, so it gave our young boys some great experience.
And so you've just come off your bye, mid-year sort of break for the Kangaroos. A, how did you spend it? And B, did you get a chance to reset as a club about and look back on what you've achieved or where you can improve going into the second half? Was there one of those sort of meetings where you analyse where you are?
We analysed a little bit, and they make sure you go away and you think about where you want to go as an individual and a team for the second half of the year. But that's about it. It's more about having a mental break, and I didn't actually get up to too much. Stayed at Crown one night, and
City holiday.
Yeah, the kids went down to Geelong for two nights, which was good. So kids free and
nice.
That's about it.
Do you get a physical break as well? Was there kind of a bit of a lull in training?
Yeah, definitely. So we had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, and just had a little run and a bit of a weight session on Saturday. So pretty light and refreshed for the second half of the year.
And you feel refreshed? Like, how does that feel with your body after pretty much going very hard for the last kind of, what is it, 4 or 5 months really?
Yeah, well, it's a bit different actually because we had training on Monday and everyone's pretty lethargic and it's hard to get it back into that training. Yeah. But we've got main training today, so everyone will be back up and about, and especially with all the young boys, they'll be...
They'll be keen.
Yeah, they'll be very keen.
We talked to Sean Higgins about this a couple of weeks ago when he came in about how you're playing differently to what you did last year. And it does seem to be a team now that's prepared to take the game on a little bit more. And it seems that the players are really enjoying that freedom to try and almost, you know, we're talking before about Brazil, express themselves out on the footy field a bit more and try and take the game on. Are you feeling a difference with the way you're playing?
Oh, definitely. I think our counter-attacking has been a lot better. And, when we get the ball in attack, we score pretty quickly. It's sometimes teams have been really stopping us and holding the ball off us. But when we get our hands on the ball, it's normally pretty efficient and scoring, which is I like it. It's really good. Gives me a bit more of a rest as well.
So you're talking about today being your main training session. For the listeners out there, I want you to tell us how it happens. How long were you trained for? The preparation for training as opposed to a game, and how exhausted you are after a session. Take us through a day as a senior AFL footballer.
Yeah, so this year it's a bit different for us. Our day off is yesterday. So, and last year our day off would have been today. So we have main training now 2 days out or 3 days out before a game. So that's today, and we'll have about an hour and a half session on the track. Won't be too physical because we play in 2 days' time, but it'll be pretty hard, contested ball, and then we'll do an hour and a half weights and have your physio and massage day and a few meetings. So it's a full day today, and then I guess tomorrow is a light session, day before a game, and you can do whatever you want on the track, as much as or as little as you want, and we'll have another little weight session and just your final meeting. So we'll have a backs line meeting and also a team meeting.
So you training today out on the track specifically to playing against St Kilda on Friday night, or is it more about just generally trying to get North Melbourne doing what North Melbourne has to do on Friday night, if that makes sense?
Today's probably more about what we want to do. We had a training session on Monday, and that was a bit about St Kilda, how they play. And I guess you have two teams because we have about 40 training at a time, and one will train as St Kilda kind of, and then the other will train as North Melbourne. So, yeah, but today's more about what we want to do.
Who do you play on when you're playing St Kilda at training?
Training. It's funny because whoever's on the St Kilda team, kind of, they always yell out who they're pretending to be. So it's always a good laugh. So
you don't get that white line fever in the training as you do on the games, Scott, do you?
Oh no, nah, not anymore. 2 days out, you can't afford to hurt anyone or injure anyone. So
who replicates the engine of Revolt?
Oh, well, they just rotate.
Yeah.
Every 2 minutes, you've got to keep up with yours.
So they've got like stunt doubles. They've got three or four.
Fresh meat just coming in. Yeah. Just being rotated in. If you just joined us, Scott Thompson from the Kangaroos has joined us as part of the Inner Sanctum conversation here in the Breakfast Club. You'll stick around after the break as well. There's plenty more going on in the world of footy. We want to touch base with Scotty on, and we'll do it after this on RSN 927.
Exclusive access behind closed doors. The Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Great to have your company. We're in the Inner Sanctum of the Kangaroos today. Fresh off the bye, they've got Friday night footy against the Saints at Etihad Stadium, which is going to be a ripper. It's also a tribute to our mate, Brent Harvey. A big night on Friday night. A living legend returns to Etihad Stadium. And the famous number 29 is retired indefinitely for the Kangaroos, which would be a big night for the footy club. He's had a lot of those. Scott Thompson joins us from the Kangaroos as part of the Inner Sanctum. Scotty, he's had a lot of those sort of milestone events of recent times. He's, when you play that long, that sort of happens, I suppose. But he gets the number 29 retired indefinitely this weekend.
Yeah, what an amazing accolation to get your jumper retired. And it'll be pretty good, I think, before the game. The players won't get to see it, but... No, I think it would be exciting for him to get that final hurrah. And, talking about all his accolades, I was going through my house and all my jumpers. There's about 10 milestone games for him. So
that's what I was thinking. You must be getting sick of celebrating
him. He's cocking up my closet.
That's a fair point. Kangaroos fans, I'm sure, will be there in force, not only for the game, but to celebrate and say goodbye to Boomer, for even though he's sort of hanging around still as part of the footy club, and see the number 29 retired indefinitely, which will be pretty cool on Friday night. Can I ask you about a couple of other senior players at your footy club? Andrew Swallow, former captain, and Lindsay Thomas, who have had difficult years because they would go into a season expecting to be playing senior footy most weeks, and it's not the case for those two in the last 6 weeks or so. And Andrew, of course, being a former captain, I reckon that'll sting a bit. How are they getting around the club? What sort of demeanour are you seeing from those guys around the club week in, week out?
Yeah, Andrew's been terrific. Former captain, you wouldn't know he's playing VFL at the moment. His attitude's great, and he's put in some really good performances the last couple of weeks. They had a bye as well with us last week, but he'd be looking, I think, to get back in pretty soon. His form's been really good, and Lindsay's been really good as well. And obviously, he got suspended, so he's had the 5 weeks off, and I think he's right to be selected this week. So he's had a mini pre-season, you could say. So he's been wrecked every training session. He's coming off pretty sore and been worked pretty hard. So it'll be good for him. He can line up the second half of the season being fitter than everyone else and ready to go.
Well, it'll be good.
Before you go, Half wants to delve into some issues.
Yes,
but just on, as we look forward to Friday night, the importance of the game, because it's almost like a mini final for you to sort of give yourself a chance of being part of this potentially September action. You had a similar game against St Kilda last year, a little bit later. Are you seeing it that way? Are you seeing as a team that can be playing finals this year and the enormity of a Friday night game?
Oh, definitely. You see our performances so far in the first half of the year. We haven't been thrashed. We've been in a chance to win every game, I think. So it is a big game for us. And, we're only on 4 wins. So, and you need to be at least 6 kind of now. So we've got a bit of catching up to do. But it looks like the ladder's going to be pretty tight. And, 11 or 12 wins with a good percentage is going to get you into finals.
And do you dress it up because it is a Friday night game and it's North Melbourne? They don't get many of them, but a chance to really sort of, see it as this massive game for the footy club?
Yeah, it's huge. Every Friday night, everyone loves playing Friday night. And, the club always mentions that, we used to play all Friday night games. But, Yeah, we'll be looking forward to it.
Not so much anymore, Scotty.
No.
Friday night specialists.
Friday, well, they were. I remember the very first one. The North Melbourne, Kent Collingwood, I think it was, at the MCG. The very first Friday night game, which was pretty cool. Can I ask you about the role of the runner? Now, I'm not sure if you caught up with the news of the last 24 hours or so, where Nick Maxwell, who's running for the Giants these days, is under a bit of investigation for his placement, perhaps, when he's out there on field and how long he's out there for. What is the, in your eyes, what does the runner do and how often would you engage with the runner during a game?
Yeah, I guess as a defender, it's a bit different. So the runner comes out to us to tell us when to rotate off normally. Otherwise, we're just staying on. But I probably yell out to the runner a fair bit as well because I want to pass a message back to the box maybe. And so, but I guess a runner has to be super fit because they're just, our runner anyway, he's constantly out and in, just relaying messages from the coach's box. So it's pretty funny because you could imagine what Brad's saying down the phone to the runner and then our runner comes out and goes, oh, can you just go up a couple of steps?
He softens the message.
You think, oh, gee, the message must be nice. But then you get to quarter time, you're like, okay, maybe it wasn't that.
Slightly edited version of the message from the coach. Do you see other runners out there sitting out there just trying to get in the play just to be a thorn in your side?
I don't notice that, but I could see how it could happen, especially if they've played the game before and they know they're a good reader of the ball. They can, they might be able to just slow down or something. You see in the vision, when you're watching your vision, umpires and runners, like, you think, oh, there's no space there, but when you take away the umpire and the runner, if they're coming through, there's actually a big hole there. So, I haven't really noticed it too much.
Yeah, okay. You've got a stance on this one. You tweeted something yesterday about the role of the runner. Of course, they've gone from two runners back to one runner because they were concerned about the amount of time that runners were out there a couple of years ago. But you want to take that even further, Whitey?
I think they should be banned completely. I don't think there is any need for runners out on the football field. And I understand what Scott's saying. But with the amount of rotations that happen now, most of your key players through the midfield are spending 4 or 5 minutes off the ground. That is ample time to be coached, ample time to get messages to your leaders to get them back out onto the field. And I'd like to see a situation where players can actually think for themselves a little bit more out on the field, because I think the better team will prosper in those circumstances. I'd like to eliminate as much junk off the field as possible and let the players play. It's not in the 12s. They know what they're doing.
Well, where's the coaching element then?
Well, the coaching element is at quarter time, half time, before the game, through the week.
You can't call a timeout like basketball.
And when the players are on the bench, that is the opportunity to coach the players as they come off and get messages back out onto the field.
So you reckon you'd see more coaching from the bench if that was to be the case?
Well, potentially, yeah. And I think it's a chance for the coaches to actually be a bit more creative in the way that they coach a game.
Scotty, what would be your take on that if that was to come in? Well, how would it affect you and your team?
I don't mind it. As a defender, Robbie Tarrant and I made a call last week. We had a spare and we wanted to change it, and we did on the field. And then the runner came out and told us about a minute later that they were doing the same thing anyway. So I don't mind it.
So why do you do that? Why did he come out and tell you? That's what we're going to do.
Well, that's the thing. The message takes a long time. Like, the runner can come out and tell one person, but no one else knows. And then it's up to the players to pass on that message. But there's no way a runner can go around and tell 18 people on the field, oh, we're playing a spare back or something. So, I don't mind it. Like, everyone goes off anyway now, and you can talk to the coach then.
Yeah, exactly. Good teams have good players that are very good in imparting knowledge to their teammates, directing traffic, directing stoppages, where to set up. That's what the good teams do. And I think the less interference from someone like a runner, I think it's let the players play. Let them make decisions for themselves out on the field, and the coaches can talk to them when they're not on the field.
Scotty, how pre-planned are the changes, the rotations? Because you say they are letting the midfielders know, but it's almost like after a goal you run off. Is there set things, or is it all just as it plays out?
For midfielders, there's kind of set rotations. They'll want to spend, I don't know, 8 or 9 minutes on and then get off for a couple of minutes. But as a defender, you kind of more at quarter time, half time, and three quarter time, tell the rotations person on the bench, oh, yeah, I'll need one this quarter, or no, I won't. So, yeah, there's a bit into it because one game we got stuck with not many rotations left, and you can have people sitting on the bench the last 8 minutes of the game, which is not good.
No good.
I'm going to sound like my dad here, but I want to ask this question. So as a defender, if you're the player you're playing on as a forward has kicked the goal and he goes off the field because he's kicked the goal, he's part of the rotation. As a defender, you think, oh, this is all right.
That's good.
My opponent's just got his confidence over his kicked the goal. Now he's going to go off for a rest.
Yes, definitely. Oh,
that's a good thing. So you should let him kick more every now and then just to get him off.
Well, I always see it on TV, like, why are they going off? I'll be the happiest person alive just kicking a goal. I want to kick another one. So you'd want to stay on.
So as a defender, you're cheering.
Yeah, well, normally I'll go off with my defender and I'll be cursing myself, but if they stay on, I'd think they'd stay on.
I reckon we get conned a lot of the time with things that happen.
Well, it's the only time the clock stops. You can do it without affecting 17 men on the ground, having 17 men on the ground.
I was thinking, Christian Petracca kicked this great goal, inspired his teammates and himself on Monday, and he could turn the game here in the next 5 minutes, and he's sitting on the bench.
Yeah, but think of the applause he gets as he runs off. Chest out, sort of
players that do that.
Shoulders back.
It's actually harder getting off, because when you get told to get off, you have to sprint off.
Yeah,
exactly.
And there's nothing worse if the runner or someone on the bench holds their hand up and says, no, you're not coming, go back
so
on.
So you have to sprint back.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you do it when there's a goal scored. The clock stopped. You can take your time.
But what about the jumper punch crackdown? That wouldn't be setting too well with you.
Well, I don't do too many jumper punches, and I definitely won't do any now. It's a good thing. Because obviously people are getting away with it, and it's, if you pack a punch, it still can hurt a jumper punch. So, yeah, it shouldn't be in. It's a bad example for the young kids out there, so it should be just taken out.
Well, I'm sure the Kangaroo supporters want your team to pack a punch on Friday night against St Kilda. It's going to be a big night. The number 29 of Brent Harvey will be retired indefinitely. The celebrations commence around about 7:10, they reckon. Club recommends fans arrive at the game early for what is going to be an absolute blockbuster, you reckon, on Friday night footy. Kangaroos are back there with the Saints. It's going to be a ripper. Scotty Thompson, thanks for coming in.
No worries. Thanks.
Scott Thompson in the Inner Sanctum with us from the Kangaroos on the Breakfast Club.
I'm wrapped. He's coming. He's one of the nicest blokes in footy. He just gets this white line fever at times.
There's a few in the boat. In fact, the bloke used to play a similar position from the Kangaroos, used to do that as well. White line fever, number 11. Blonde hairs. Glenn Archer, similar sort of mould down there at the Kangaroos for those key defenders. News time, 8 o'clock. Johnny Bowden with you. And after that, plenty coming up. Cam Munster from the Storm and Jeeva Mentor from the Sunshine Coastline.